That's the rule. That's the way the rules are. That is now illegal.
That's illegal. Why can't I? My dog's a block. If you're parallel, how can you not see it? You're right next to me.
Because I'm faster than you, and I'm parallel, I'm even.
Well, that's why I'm going to cut you, because you're faster than me.
That's why the fat guys always do it.
I mean, the science has not said this is what is the problem. This is a direct correlation between head injuries. A lot of assumptions, a lot of assuming. We all know what happens when you assume. We better cancel women's soccer because they have more head injuries than football. So let's get rid of women's soccer, too.
This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst Jeff Lugeman, Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher, and Tony Boselli.
Now that's a cool cat.
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
All right, here we go. Jaguars This Week, final Wednesday of March, which means we are turning our attention to the draft in a really big way here over the next month. In fact, Jeff, we're sitting here listening to John Osher, who is probably going to be in New York for the draft, and Tony is going to be in London.
Big timers.
We're going to be right back here in Jaguar Central, but it's going to kind of be South Georgia because I heard you talking about cooking.
Yeah, I can always cook up a little something for draft day.
Yeah. All right, so you guys are the ones that are going to lose out on this deal.
Yeah, you know, we're inside of a month for draft day, right?
It's just at a month this week, I think, isn't it?
What's the date today?
Today is the 27th.
27th?
Month, yeah.
We're inside a month.
It's
all right.
Less than a month.
Inside a month, folks.
I'll put in an early vote for the venison cutlets.
All right, we can do that.
I want the venison sausage that you turned into
some,
like a brat.
We can do
just
that
save
too.
Some pecan pie.
If you say it like that,
you
Misty
said it
will
right.
make one.
Yeah. Well, Misty, already got them.
Why do you think I said it that way?
Yeah,
I want the pecan
you're
pie.
You're a very bright man. All right, so you hear Tony, and there is Jeff. John Osher is here from Jaguars.com. John, how are you?
I'm good. Ryan, how are you?
I'm good. Draft coverage starting to get ready, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we've been on it, you know, for about a month, starting with the pro days. We've had a pro day draft tracker on Jaguars.com. With the number 2 pick, there's enough interest. We could have started, you know, in January on this, which we basically did with the Senior Bowl. So it's a lot of interest.
Well, and the Jaguars personnel people, I mean, we're talking coaches, mm-hmm. David Caldwell and his people. I mean, they are hitting every one of them.
Yeah, I mean, at least a scout has been at anybody who's remotely in the top, you know, I would assume in every one. So.
Who went to the – USC was today, Matt Barkley. I didn't hear how that went, how the workout went. Did we send anyone out there?
I assume we did. I don't know exactly who we sent. From what you saw on NFL Network, from what you heard, he looked like they expected Matt Barkley to look, which was
– I heard that the general manager and the head coach were there.
Okay.
And what did he look like? I've not heard a report today.
From everything I read on Twitter, I was busy writing a story on Blaine Gabbert for Jaguars.com. Followed on Twitter a little bit. I heard he looked like he expected him to look. Not great arm strength, not great physically, but.
Oh, he's a USC guy. What do you expect?
Yeah, second round. I mean,
you know,
okay,
late first,
great.
Early second round pick.
All those Virginia guys, they're really loading up this year in the draft.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, you can crack on Virginia quarterbacks, I mean, in a bad way. The only one I can ever
Matt
think
Schaub.
Of. Well, Matt Schaub, and then you got Don Majkowski, the Magic Man.
Magic Man.
Aaron.
Sean Moore.
Sean Moore, yeah, short.
Not an NFL.
Well,
yeah,
well, but the
Saints
inter-
guy.
The
Saints
interesting
guy.
Thing, back going back to Matt Barkley, though,
Saints
is he
yeah,
had the
Saints
shoulder
guy.
Injury.
He had the surgery in November.
November, late November, yeah. Really December. And you wonder, not a great arm before mm-hmm. that. And so still recovering from that surgery, my
right.
guess, or the injury. I don't know if he had surgery. It's separation. It was a bad separation. I don't think he ended up.
I read somewhere that he had a procedure done. Maybe it
that
wasn't
was,
surgery.
That was a non-throwing shoulder? Or
no,
throwing
it was a
throwing
shoulder. So
I'm hoping they tape it because, I mean, I'm hoping they show it again on NFL Network tonight. I was writing a story on Blaine, but.
Well, this is a quarterback show.
I'm interested to see it.
Yeah, because of the Blaine story,
sure.
Because of Barkley. Obviously, the Jaguars, if you read Twitter enough, there are people throwing the Geno Smith thing. Oh, that I forget the Daniel. There's a scout that writes for NFL.com who hinted last night that he keeps hearing the Jaguars and Geno Smith. And then obviously Jason LaCanfora wrote the story on CBSSports.com that the Jaguars are part of a three-team effort in the mix for the Seahawks backup quarterback Matt Flynn.
And he said he's reporting, if I'm not mistaken, that they're the favorite. That best guess is. Jacksonville.
Well,
which,
and for the obvious tie of Gus Bradley,
which
has been there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't
throw something on the wall.
Well, and that's what I think it is because, well, listen, Dave Caldwell has talked about it openly that
right.
draft picks are like gold, especially early. We want to build through the draft. We only have 7 this year.
Mm-hmm.
I would be surprised if he were to trade a third-round draft pick for Matt Flynn. I just don't see it happening.
For a guy that's going to make a reported $6 million plus dollars a year.
I don't care what he's making. Third-round pick.
Who did not beat out a third-round pick draft pick last year. You know, now I know that Russell Wilson had an amazing rookie year, but he still, after all, was a third-round pick rookie.
Yeah. From reading the story, it sounds like the reporting probably went something like this. I don't doubt that David Caldwell has talked to the Seahawks. It would be silly if he hadn't, because you explore that option. There's probably two or three other teams in that story who have talked to him. So now you've got a story that says there's two or three teams who have talked to him. Jaguars are one of them.
It's a sweepstakes.
Well, or at that point, it would stand to reason the Jaguars could be the favorite. If you were guessing.
I mean, maybe if you can give up a seventh rounder.
And probably some other GM has said, yeah, Jacksonville's probably the favorite. That's usually how reporting on a story like that goes, and that's fine.
But if this is a rib, there's not a lot of meat on this bone. It's just speculation is all it is. And they are tying it to Gus Bradley, the fact that someone is going to push Blaine Gabbert, which has been said.
What's the date?
And they have
said?
Cap space.
March 27th, right?
Yeah.
That's a beautiful March 27th story for Jason Lockenfor.
You bet. All right, so there you go.
But I mean, I think proud of him I think it. You go back to if you listen to what Dave Caldwell has said from the beginning and the importance of building through the draft, only having seven draft picks this year, having a high third rounder in a deep draft.
I would be shocked
if you gave up a third rounder for a backup quarterback.
But by the same token, he should absolutely call the Seahawks and say, what do you want for him? Have that in the hopper of things to do. If you can get him for a fifth or a sixth.
I'm not sure I do it then.
Or if you wait a little while, you may get him for nothing.
And Gus would know better than any of us.
And they wouldn't give up a fifth, then it makes perfect sense because he's been in the locker room with the guy for a year.
But he may be a guy that you could get for nothing.
And if he turns out to be Mark Brunell, it's a great trade.
It would be a great trade if he turned out to be Mark Brunell.
That's a big but.
I mean, and here's the thing that I don't think it – no way, top four rounds. I mean, obviously, first-round pick, no way. Second-round pick, no way. Third-round pick, no way. Fourth-round pick, that's the first pick
you're
of
sitting at the
day
top of
three.
The four. That's a great trade pick.
No, you're not going to do that.
By the way, I threw it out there. Daniel Jeremiah, at Move the Sticks, former scout with the Eagles and Niners, said yesterday, I'm always skeptical of draft rumblings during this time of year, but I've heard several league sources mention Jack/Geno, as in Geno Smith. So
I've heard tons of league sources mention it.
Yeah, exactly, right. It's right open there.
I was at the owners' meetings. That's all they were mentioning.
You bet.
But it wasn't Dave or Gus mentioning it.
No.
So
I think we should keep on mentioning it.
Sure.
Because
mention away, Tony.
Maybe someone else wants them. We can trade out of it.
Sure.
Well, yeah, drive the market value right there. Okay, so there is the Flynn. There is the Geno Smith.
And by the way, that's exactly what the Jaguars want to have happening. Whether they're legitimately interested in Geno Smith or not, that's exactly the kind of report they want.
Because you would like to, if you don't like them, somebody's going to
want
to move up.
The more people think you're interested, the better. If you really are interested, great. If you're not, that's great too.
You want people to believe that you're interested in every person. Mm-hmm. Because if they covet somebody enough, then they're going to want to move up. And that's
listen,
you got to pay a price.
Dave Caldwell said that he's going to draft need. He's a need drafter. That's his philosophy. We have about 12 position groups that have need. So there's a lot of guys we could want.
It's wide open. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about Blaine Gabbert's comments today, which are obviously not a surprise. Back after this, Joe.
All right, Brian. Hey, fans, you can be rewarded just for being social at the new Jaguars Social League. Sign up, sync your social media platforms at jaguars.com/social league. You earn points every time you post something Jaguars, and then use those points to win great prizes, including a chance to win tickets to the Jaguars game in London in October. Want to talk to the guys? Hey, use the Metro PCS call-in line, 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Out of town, throw an 800 in front of that. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Now, season ticket owners, the Jaguars Refer-A-Fan program is designed to put money in your pocket. You're invited to refer friends to become Jaguars multi-year season ticket owners in return for a cash referral fee. For more information on joining the Refer-A-Fan program, just call the Jaguars Ticket Office, 904-633-2000, or visit jaguars.com.
You know, it must be a big deal for Barkley because he's now live on ESPN with a couple of anchors. They were showing the highlights of him throwing the ball, you know, in shorts, throwing to guys in shorts. Everybody looks good. But
sure. I wouldn't.
Well, yeah, but you weren't a quarterback either.
Not throwing football.
Yeah. Honesty, candor.
I'll tell you
well,
this
is where Barkley shines. Off field, all the intangibles, everything else you want, he's great at. The question
and
is,
I know I'm an
play?
SC guy, but can he play? Do we forget what he was like as a junior? I mean, he was – they said if he would have left as a junior, he's a
– right.
He was the third quarterback going to go off the board. I mean, he was going to go off to the board after – well, before RG3 kind of exploded. Mm-hmm. It was Andrew Luck then.
Yep.
And then Matt Barkley. He didn't have a terrible senior year. The team underperformed, and he was not as good as his junior. He gets hurt. I'm not saying I'd take him. I don't think he's a top 10. I'm not even sure he's a first-rounder, but I'll tell you this. I would think long and hard if he's sitting there at the top of the second round.
He won't be around the second round.
But I'm saying if he's there, if you know, quarterbacks slide sometimes. I mean, Aaron Rodgers somehow slid from being the number one pick at one point in the entire draft
into the 20s. 24, right?
24. If Matt Barkley slides somehow, you'd have to think long and hard. Two things. Long and hard, you take him, and I promise you, if you're not going to take him, there'll be people calling you to trade up to get him.
Well, I mean, you watch this. It sure seems like he has adequate arm strength. I mean, he doesn't have a rifle, but it looks like watching him on tape.
You know, the one thing that he certainly has, because, I mean, Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, but when he came out of high school,
he was
the most highly touted high school prospect, period. And so as far as media savvy and doing stuff on camera, you know, as far as the interview process and all that, he is going to shine.
Well, here's the things about Matt Barkley, and I followed, obviously, SC very closely, followed him closely. The arm strength is a question. I think it's a fair question to ask about Matt Barkley. But as a guy who came in and started day one as a true freshman, won his first game in Ohio State as a true freshman, after his freshman year had the opportunity to leave and not sit out because of the probation that SC got put on. He could have transferred anywhere in the country, not missed a down or anything, and chose to stay at USC because
credit for that.
He wanted to lead
the renaissance
and the change, and he did a good job at that. It was a dysfunctional group this year. There now, is some of that the quarterback's fault, possibly.
Some of it's the coach's fault.
Could be
possibly.
A lot of different things. It's a team that was number one in the nation, and then when you lose and things start unraveling, you know, things can go sideways. But I'm not saying I wouldn't take him in the top five, top 10, but he's sitting there. I'll say it again. He is an interesting guy because, you know, you think of a guy like Chad Pennington. I'm not sure he could throw it through a wet paper towel, but he won a lot of football games and had the New York Jets, you know, in the playoffs. It was a good guy until he hurt his shoulder so many times he couldn't throw it at all.
Right.
But there's guys like that.
Right.
That I don't think you have
to
have.
Barkley doesn't have a lollipop arm.
No,
like
I'm not saying he does. That's not my point. Yeah. But I don't think you have to have a rocket for a right arm to be a effective quarterback in the NFL.
Right.
The other thing with both Barkley and Geno Smith, I've only been around both of them once, obviously at the combine, and they come in for their interviews. They don't have that incredible first glance, striking physical presence.
No, he's not.
That scouts seem to like. So that's the other thing that you always hear is the arm strength and the lack of that, you know, physical build that, you know, scouts just tend to like.
But look
that.
At
now,
Drew,
does that matter? No.
I mean, look at
matter.
Drew Brees. I mean, have you guys seen Drew Brees and like and talked
very
to Drew Brees
similar to Barkley?
I mean, smaller than Barkley.
Yep.
The greatest example though is Joe Montana. I mean, it was lack of arm strength.
Well, that's another
physical.
Yeah.
I mean, had no type of physical presence whatsoever. But maybe one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the game.
So you got to be careful. I mean, listen, that's why that position is the hardest to judge. It's the hardest to evaluate because there's so many things that go into
so many intangibles.
Look at Blaine Gabbert.
Mm-hmm. And let's go there.
I mean, Blaine Gabbert, rocket arm, smart, tough, athletic.
Wait a minute. Did you just say tough?
I think he's tough. Can run. I mean, he's a
every physical thing you want, he's got.
And I think some of the – I mean, he's a smart guy. He tries hard. Mm-hmm. He's not a problem off the field.
No, he's a work ethic guy.
He's a work ethic guy. And for whatever reason – now, there's a lot of other things we don't need to get into right now, why that hasn't worked out the first 2 years. And I don't think you give up on Blaine Gabbert. But my point is, he's everything that you would want.
And it wasn't a slam dunk.
And it's not a slam dunk. And not that it can't be – not that he can't have success because – and we'll go to his comments in a second, but I heard someone say something very interesting, a national guy. And I can't remember who it was. But he said, I wouldn't give up on Blaine Gabbert yet, which was one of the first national guys I've ever heard say that. They said, think about a few years, a number of years ago, the San Diego Chargers gave up on Drew Brees. They did not think he was the franchise guy. They drafted Phillip Rivers. Drew Brees ends up having a great year. Now they had to make a decision. They trade or they let him go in free agency, and Drew Brees now arguably is the top three quarterback in the NFL.
Go look at Brees' numbers from his first couple of seasons in San Diego. They are remarkably similar to what Gabbert has
done. So I think there's the book is still out on Blaine. I think the book in the coaches' minds here, the new coaches, I think in Dave Caldwell, I think that book is a blank slate at this point. He's going to have to earn it. But so I don't think we bury that. And he had some comments, John, that some pretty poignant comments with you in a Q&A you had with him.
Well, I talked to him for a long time this morning, late this morning, and there were a lot of things that he said, and you can read it on Jaguars.com. The thing that will make headlines is he addressed the quote-unquote anonymous assistant coach who criticized him for a number of things, and he basically just said he wished that that coach, instead of going to the media, had confronted him face-to-face or done whatever you do face-to-face when you mention that sort of thing. And I thought what was most interesting is how he feels about this competition. He looks forward to it. He said, I went through the same thing last year. He expects to have competition, and I think he's ready for it. Now, how it all turns out, who knows? But he appreciates the fact that there is very much a blank slate and that the coaches are trying to start from square one. I think he realizes it would have been easy for these guys to come in and listen to a lot of the noise and to prejudge, and they're not. So this is sort of a starting point for him.
I give him credit for speaking his mind on the criticism that the anonymous assistant coach, and we got a pretty good idea of who it is.
Well, and I think Blaine's biggest point with that is, you know, especially with – he made reference, you get close to these guys, and you trust them, and you develop a relationship, and then all of a sudden to have this – happen after the fact, I think was disappointing. And
it's not disappointing, it's garbage.
It's ridiculous. And here's the thing, and I think we'd
all grapes.
I think we'd all agree. You almost aren't surprised if a player does it, goes to an anonymous source and says something. I mean,
about a coach
or about anything. You know, players say stuff.
We don't expect it out of a coach.
But as a coach, I agree with Blaine. I mean, those are guys you trust, you look up to, you expect to have your back. And for whoever it was, and we can all make assumptions and guess and point fingers, but we're not going to do that here. I mean, it's – I mean
– the most amusing thing –
it's really weak. I mean, it is so weak. I mean, come on, I mean, what do you have to gain if you're that coach?
Right.
I mean, if you have that kind of issue and you have that kind of problems with Blaine Gabbert –
maybe take a little bit of the heat off of the
and
job
you're doing
that
the
you perceived
– yeah, but he's – but he's
to have done.
But you're doing the exact same thing that you sort of accused Blaine of doing.
No, you're –
That's what was comical to me. It's like, okay, come on. So you're saying this, and you're blaming him. And you know, I mean, it's
– but, Jeff, how does it make
– it was weak.
How does it help that coach? He's not even – no one knows who it is.
No, it was weak.
Well, it helps that coach
– with that one media guy?
By giving a great story to Michael Silver, who, you know
– so weak.
And we've probably talked about it too much. But he said it. He addressed it. And I thought it was fine the way he handled
it. But it's relevant because Blaine Gabbert – I think has been pretty quiet for the most part in responding to the criticism. Hasn't done a lot of addressing specific accusations from whether it's fan base or coaches or what or national media. He's kind of let that go off his back.
Right.
This is really the first time he says
it's personal.
He said, "Hold on now a second. This is it's gone beyond just criticizing my play. Now you're questioning." You know, integrity and who I am.
We got lots more to say on the subject, but we need news here at the bottom of the hour. So, Joe, it's over to you and then over to the folks at WOKV. More to come, folks. Another half hour.
All right, Jaguars This Week is presented by Aetna, and Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Check them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better. Jaguars This Week rolls on. News is next here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. I want to talk to the guys. The Metro PCS call-in line is open, 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Out of town, throw an 800 in front of that. This portion of Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, is brought to you by Fanatics.com.
Thank you, Joe. Hey, going back real quick to Matt Barkley. Everyone in this room, and most of our listeners know who Gil Brandt is, the man who built the Cowboys, one of the most respected scouts in the history of the game. He has some notes on Matt Barkley. 6'2", 230, 4.9, average in a couple of 40s, short shuttle 4.55, and compare, first of all, says the Jags were well represented. David Caldwell, Gus Bradley, Tony Khan. But his comment is that Barkley displayed an arm strength similar to that of Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Andy Dalton.
Well, he's viewed as having a great arm strength.
Above that, not great. That was the
certainly good enough.
Right. If I remember correctly, 2 years ago, the book on Andy Dalton was smart, good pro style, above average arm.
And he was a high second round pick.
Above average arm. I don't think he has a great
probably pretty good comparison. And if
Barkley's Andy Dalton, 6'2", 230 is not small.
No, but Dalton was the 34th pick in the draft. So that's about where Barkley, that's the bottom for Barkley. He could climb up on this depending on the quarterback thing. And I wanted to ask you, you know, there's so much talk about Geno Smith and so much about Matt Barkley. Because neither one of them is so physically imposing and neither one of them has displayed that cannon of an arm, is this a year that a quarterback doesn't go in the top 10, even though people are trying to prop them and push them up the board because they're quarterbacks? Is this the year that...
No.
I don't think Geno Smith gets past...
There's too many quarterback
Philly
needy
and,
teams.
Arizona,
Buffalo.
Oh, so you think he
or Oakland.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Jay, just look at the teams that are drafted in the top 10.
I don't think he gets by it. And that's why I think Jeff's right. I don't think Barkley gets to the top of the second. I think there'll be a run on him.
I think he'll go a lot higher than people think. I mean, he might go top 10, top 12 just because of that same thing that happened in the year Blaine was drafted.
Because the teams that don't get, you know, the quarterback or that position in the top 10 are gonna give away the farm to get back up to get Barkley at some point in the first round.
I would agree, it's a premium position.
Panic takes precedent over logic.
I mean, none of us have watched enough tape to be just enough to be dangerous, probably. John's probably watched more than any of us or has followed us closer than any of us. But I think the question is, would you rather have a pass rusher, whoever that is, at number two, a defensive impact player at number two, and then Barkley at the top of the second round, or Geno Smith at two and a defensive player? Which is better for the long term of this team?
I'll tell you what's better. Hall of Famer in round one and a Hall of Famer in round two. What year was that? 75 Pittsburgh Steelers draft?
74.
If you get that 74 draft, oh.
My answer to that is I'll take whatever quarterback's better because that quarterback makes a better – whichever is going to be the franchise quarterback, right, wherever he's picked, is better than that defensive player.
At the same time, you know, there are a lot of people out there who say take a quarterback every year that you find one. And, you know, if you're a GM, you just can't sit there and take Geno Smith just because the world's saying he's the
not
best
at
guy.
Two.
Because then if he's not the best guy and he's not a guy who can function, well, you know, then all of a sudden you're set back again. So it's not as simple as just take the guy.
But you certainly look at, as I said before, you take that position in other rounds and see if you can develop somebody.
A couple things. One, I would be shocked if the Jaguars do not draft a quarterback somewhere in this draft.
I'd be surprised if it's not in the first three rounds.
I'd be shocked. That's one. Two, where is John, because, again, you've been doing your mock drafts and following this, where is Ansah, the BYU pass rusher? Where is he? Is he settled? Where is he kind of ending up?
It's still, on all those pass rushers, it still varies anywhere between 2 and 15. I mean, it's that big of a – because they're all bunched together so close. You still hear so many Deion Jordan's the flavor of the week. And
boy, is it
going to
make
the flavor of the week? So.
Prime time television.
It'll be fun.
April 25th.
And then there's no good feel for it.
And then the other one who's starting to get the other player that I'm hearing out there and people talking about it is EJ Manuel, the quarterback from Florida State. Is a guy who big arm, athletic. I mean, especially because of what you've seen. The Colin Kaepernicks and the Russell Wilsons and the RG3s and that. And even Andrew Luck and his athletic ability, what he's able to do, the athletic quarterback.
He's looked awfully good in the pro days and the combine and at the Senior Bowl. You know, you start hearing him. He's been invited to the draft. So people are talking about him as a possible late first rounder.
Early second.
So, you know, again, we've all talked. We don't yet have a good feel because they haven't drafted and they haven't chosen players together.
You got no history.
It's hard to know how these guys think. We know how they talk, but it's hard to know how they think on draft day. You can look at what Dave did in Atlanta, what they did when he was with the Colts, but once you get in that room, you start making your own decisions. It's just hard to judge until you have history.
And it's a little bit nerve-wracking because – Jeff, as you've said, I think correctly, is quarterback is a position that you have to draft until you get that guy. Mm-hmm. And there isn't that franchise guy this year. and you start hearing, you wonder if teams are starting to prop up, or the scouts or the experts propping up some of these guys, like a E.J. Manuel or a Nassib, the kid from Syracuse.
Well, that was what I was wondering.
I mean, you start all of a sudden, these guys that maybe in last year's draft would be second, third, fourth rounders, all of a sudden, because there's not that guy, they start getting pushed up to the middle or late first round.
But at some point, does logic take over? And do you have football people that say, hey, he's not worth the third pick, the fifth pick, the eighth pick. Let's not spend it there. You know, you have teams, Arizona, Philadelphia have lots of needs also.
And then you close your eyes and you think about yourself going into the season without one. And all of a sudden, it looks awful tempting to go that high. I mean,
I think
it's
people,
the great NFL dilemma.
I think people get very shaky and nervous that night, and when they get behind that closed door, and they realize that if you don't have a franchise quarterback in today's football, especially the way the rules are set out, and you have to be able to throw the ball and have that guy, the trigger finger gets start getting itchy when you start seeing those guys pass by.
And you also start listening to your fans.
That's the beauty of having the first pick in the second round. Right there. Well, what you talking about.
I agree.
That's the beauty of having the first pick on day two and day three.
I was going to say the fourth pick. The first pick in the fourth round is day three, and that's theirs as well. So that's a great leverage point. And in a year where the difference between one and two is not that significant, I'll take two for that reason alone.
It also – it stands to reason logically, and these NFL people know this, somewhere out of these seven or eight quarterbacks,
be a good one.
There is a guy. So you don't want to completely ignore it, and now you've got all these guys who sort of look alike. They have very similar grades, but you know instinctively one of those guys is a playoff quarterback.
It'll be interesting
somewhere.
It'll be interesting to go back, and maybe we'll do this before next week's show, of looking at the last 10 drafts and looking at the quarterbacks picked in each of those 10 drafts. I'd be surprised if there's not one quarterback at each of those drafts that ends up being a franchise guy. Maybe not the guys in the first round.
Yeah, there's a couple. I actually looked at it. You can go ahead and do that research, and I'll get back to it.
Well, if you've already done it, I'd rather not.
No, I didn't do enough of it. You can go ahead and finish it off.
No, go ahead. Why don't you tell us what you found out, John? Is there drafts where there's nobody?
A couple. And again, I didn't write out the whole thing. I didn't do the complete chart. But in looking back, there's a couple where there really wasn't any. For the most part, there usually is.
Okay. See, I don't have to do it. Thank you, John.
All right.
Isn't your life easy tonight?
Much easier.
When is it not easy?
Well, it wasn't easy last night when I dropped my phone and broke it. Now I have this little Go phone with no no Twitter, no internet.
I was wondering why your phone wasn't going nuts. Usually it's on the table driving us nuts.
It broke last night, and I've been scrambling. I mean, not having email or internet or Twitter or, I mean, nothing. I got like a phone from like 1997.
Because you're a connected guy.
I'm connected. I'm a networker. I'm a social media guy. Very in hip. I'm like Jeff.
Hip.
I don't want to say anything. I just want to end on that.
That's a good term for you. Hip.
Hip.
I think that should be the intro to next week's show. I'm very
big hips, and he's hip.
Hip. All right, Joe.
Are you getting your Jaguars rewards? Well, sign up at rewards.jaguars.com and get cash back or credit for future season ticket purchases every time you shop online using the Jaguars Rewards website. That's rewards.jaguars.com. This fun and frivolity will continue right after this on Jaguars Radio.
All right, welcome back to Everbank Field and Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, Brian, John, Tony, Jeff, and Mr. Delightful himself, Joe Fortunato.
Mr. Delightful.
Mr. Delightful. Doesn't that fit him?
70s Joe.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Delightful is a 70s word. So, Greg Jones signs with the Texans today, and I know all of us wish him the best because he's one of the good guys. Hate to see him go. He was the toughness in that locker room for so many years.
You know, I get it. I mean, this is a team here that's going through a lot of change and a rebuild, and an opportunity to play for what many people view as a contending team. And this is a great opportunity for Greg Jones to get exposure for the player that he really has been here in Jacksonville, because he's going to be blocking for what many people believe is the best running back in the league. And I think Arian Foster is one of the best in the league. So he will certainly get a lot. And I guarantee you there are some guys on this roster right here that are not going to look forward to playing against Greg Jones twice a year.
And this is not a case of the Jaguars not wanting Greg Jones. This is a case of Greg Jones wanting an opportunity
to win.
So,
and took maybe less money to go to Houston. You know, so, hey, it's a great opportunity. Greg made good money. He's at the I don't want to say the twilight of his career, because I mean you never know.
Yeah, but he's a fullback.
You never know. There's a couple guys that lasted a long time at that position. I mean, not very few. But I mean,
but
if anybody
anyone can
do it,
he can. He has the body.
He's in pretty good shape.
The guy has a body that is not even fair.
Yeah, it's not human.
It's like he lifts weights, and there was one of the guys that I played in the NFL with, and his name was Irv Eatman, and you probably remember,
Irv Eatman oh, yeah.
very well, Kansas City Chiefs. And this is
I know the story.
Irv Eatman tested positive for steroids every year, but he never took one. He had an abnormally high level of testosterone that I wish I had.
Yeah.
But he would come to training camp, and he told me, he said, look, I don't work out, lift weights. You know, he runs and all that kind of stuff and conditions and gets ready for football. But he wouldn't lift weights because when he lifted weights, he got so big and got big quick. And so he'd come into training camp, and the only thing he did was lift arms. And you would watch his arms grow in training camp. I kid you not. His arms would gain probably about 1.5 to 2 inches.
That's a lot.
In training camp, just doing arm exercises.
Wow.
I have that problem. It's really the reason I don't work out more than I do.
You have the opposite problem.
You needed
lack of testosterone.
But Greg is like that.
We're getting fun now.
What did they list Greg at last year? 55?
255.
No way. He was 265 plus, and he had probably some of the best arms in the National Football League.
Well, I'm disappointed he's leaving. I'm happy for him because it's whatever he wants to do. You know, he has served this franchise well. He's represented it well on and off the field. He is a class individual. Selfishly, I'm disappointed because I'd love for Greg to finish his career here, but I understand why he made the decision.
Ryan O'Halloran from the Times Union talked to him this afternoon and just tweeted that he said to him, they're making positive moves, but where I'm at, it doesn't add up to what they're doing. And that's true. This is a team that's rebuilding.
They don't want it. It was funny. I did an event with Gus on last Thursday night, and someone said the rebuilding. He goes, listen, I don't like that word. We're not, you know, we might be retooling. We might be having a fresh start, but no veteran wants to hear.
No, you're right.
That we're rebuilding. Brad Meester, who just signed and is at the end of his career, doesn't want to hear rebuilding. Now, I think that's what we all talk about, but
whatever you call it, Greg's exactly right.
Well, Greg's right. They're going, whether you call it rebuilding or not, this is a team that's going very young and is going to change that locker room. And so the interesting thing is Greg's going to a new team. It would have been almost like a new team if he had stayed here because it's changed so much.
He'd had a few teammates,
but not many.
It's not the organization or the support structure that he grew up in. I mean, when I say grew up, spent his formative years in the NFL, so it's different, and if he has success there, he deserves it.
And I think we'd all agree it's the right thing the changes are making here. I mean, it was time to start fresh.
Now, here's the question. There's one left, right? One left. Daryl Smith.
The last
we're talking about, you know, the veteran guys. Brad's back. But
who,
there's one guy out there.
If you went just on performance and ability and how he could help, may be the guy that for the short term, for a year or two.
But he's not a short-term guy.
Well, he may be. May end up being
how many years has he been in the NFL?
Much like Greg Jones, Daryl's was 9.
He didn't play this year. He was a second-round pick in 2004.
So he's going into his 10th year.
His 10th.
Yep. 9 years already.
He shouldn't be a short-term guy, but in this market, he may wind up being a short-term guy.
But I mean,
in terms of a guy you can get for a 1 or 2 year deal.
And I've said this before: when you are rebuilding, retooling, whatever you want to call it,
starting
however
fresh,
choose the semantics.
Oh yeah,
you have to have guys to carry the torch. Daryl Smith, Greg Jones, mm-hmm. Brad Meester; those three guys are the type of guys that you'd want to carry the torch with a new regime, a new era, however you want to call it.
Well, and they did want. I mean, to make it clear, they did want Greg Jones to carry the torch. Now they couldn't. They couldn't overpay to ensure that, but they would have liked to have had that happen.
Sure.
But as Greg said, at the end of his career, he's looking for a place where he can go right now. And Houston's as good a team as you find in the AFC, don't you think?
But somewhere out there was a price that would have changed that.
Yeah, maybe.
well, there's always a price.
Not maybe. There was a price.
Sure.
There's always a price.
But you have to be reasonable. During this rebuild, build, whatever you're calling this, you have to balance that with being reasonable and getting the cap structure correct and building your foundation the way you want to build it.
I mean, there's a price that would get me out of retirement.
It wouldn't be that high.
Right.
Trust me.
It wouldn't be
you
that
ain't
high,
gonna
big
get
boy.
That.
Joe Fortunato throwing a 5 at you. It's
That's close. There's maybe one more of those we're in.
Could you get him a new phone if you could get it? That might be
phone will get me signed up right now.
That's the signing bonus.
The phone and the 5 will make that thing happen without a doubt. So, Greg going there.
But I haven't heard any whispers about Daryl Smith
anywhere.
Which is very
I got a couple
surprising.
Calls from people in Atlanta. Georgia Tech guy. You know, obviously Mike Smith was here. So I got some calls from some folks up there asking, you know, is Daryl Smith really going to leave Jacksonville? I said, well, he's really not here. He's not under contract. So if someone throws an offer at him, maybe it makes sense.
But doesn't Atlanta have some cap issues? I mean, aren't they limited to what they can do cap-wise?
I don't know.
I don't either. It just seems.
There's so many teams that are.
I mean, I'm making an assumption
you're right. The money
85% of the teams
don't have the cap.
Have no cap space. So right. I'm just maybe assuming that Atlanta.
And it's interesting
isn't that
because
group.
For years leading up to free agency, you've heard that in different years. That, hey, it's going to be slow. It's going to be this. It's going to be this. This is really the first year I've ever seen that it's legitimately affecting guys. I think this is the only year since free agency started that a guy like Daryl Smith wouldn't have had some sort of a deal by now.
No doubt.
And I still think it may work out where all this conspires to get him back here, which for this team for the short term would be terrific.
I mean, I'd be curious to know what the market is for Daryl right now. I mean, I'm sure somebody's offered him something. But, I mean, for a guy like that, I mean, in a year in which teams had money to spend, you would think $3-plus million a year.
Well, but here's the – and listen, I think he's worth it, but the flip side of that is a guy who's going into his 10th year who missed every game but one because of a severe groin injury.
Right. If you don't know him, if you're another team looking at that –
Played two games, right?
Played two.
Oh, yes. Did he play two
games? Yeah, he did play
but
the final.
If you're another
started
team looking
the last
at that,
one, right?
That looks risky from the outsider's point of view. A lot of research has to go into it.
Well, a lot of MRIs.
Sure.
You know, but
and soft tissue can scare teams. I mean, at that age, a chronic soft tissue injury – and I'm not saying Daryl's is chronic. This is 1 year. But to miss 14 games.
Yeah, and when you look at potential landing spots, if it's not here, I mean, your first thought is Denver, Atlanta, Jack Del Rio, Mike Smith, because that's kind of how it works. I mean, it's just like the coaching profession.
Well, remember, he's a Georgia
who knows
native,
who.
Played at Georgia Tech. The people in Atlanta love him from the conversations that I've had.
Nothing not to love. Great player.
Right. No, great player, great person. Guy. Yeah, the kind of guy that you certainly want in your locker room. So, you know, he's a guy that if Price is right and you're Gus Bradley.
The only thing that's hurting Daryl Smith is that Mark Duffner's still here and has been here for so long. I mean, think about it.
How does that hurt him?
If Daryl Smith had four different linebacker coaches in his career, that would create more of a market for Daryl.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Because more coaches would have exposure.
Absolutely. You're creating a riff.
I hate to say it.
You're really,
but Duffner, you're killing Daryl.
You're reaching there. All right. That's a reach.
All right, guys. Talk to you next week. Jaguars This Week is officially off the air. Good night, everybody.